Hi, and welcome to A Conversation with a Black Businesswoman podcast with me, Lillian Oliveri from Kale Accountancy Limited, an accountancy practice based in London, UK. So, in today's episode, we'll be talking to the remarkable and phenomenal Sean Simon, the founding director and psychotherapist at Discover Me Limited, a practice based in London, UK. In this episode, you will get to hear how Sean started her practice, and you will definitely hear and feel what she's passionate about as a psychotherapist. Her social media handles are Instagram, Discover Me Limited, on LinkedIn, Sean Simon, and on Facebook, Discover Me Limited. Also, just a side note, in this podcast, you will hear Sean refer to me as Sarah. This is sort of a pet name or additional name to my Christian name, Lillian. However, we won't get into why I have two names, but we'll definitely get into this podcast. Hope you enjoy. Hi, everyone, and welcome to A Conversation with a Black Businesswoman with me, your host, Lillian Oliveri from Kale Accountancy. And today I'm joined with a guest, Sean Simon from Discover Me Therapy Limited, that is based in London. And I'm just going to do a short intro. Hi, Sean.
Hi, good to be here.
Thank you for joining me on my new adventure doing a podcast, a limited series, I might add, a limited series. but let's do a bio on Sean. She specializes in helping people overcome the effects of childhood trauma, codependency, all addictions and obsessive behaviors, anxiety, depression, low self-esteem, bereavement, and relationship issues, empowering people to live their best lives despite their past difficulties and present blocks. She's qualified as in addiction psychology and therapy, bachelor honors degree in integrative therapy. Post-induction therapy. And she's also BACP registered and FDAP accredited. And in all of that, she just aims to continue to help people to discover their authentic self and function with gifts and talents they have, regardless of the past difficulties and present obstacles. She's also worked with people like Calder, a clinic in Switzerland. So she's been like a resident therapist there. She's also worked with Croydon University Hospital, Mind Charity, and also Priory Hospital based in North London. So you have been busy, Sean, very busy.
Still am. Yeah, it is busy. You know, there's lots of, I mean, even since the pandemic, even prior to the pandemic, I think it's more highlighted now since then, post-pandemic, how people struggle, and how people struggle in silence. Because, you know, there's lots of cultural barriers or what have you around owning the fact that you're struggling with an emotional difficulty or a mental problem. And so, I think post-pandemic is much more in the open now. People are much more willing to talk about these things now than they ever were. So it is extremely busy. It's always busy these days.
Yeah. Do you think it was more so because of the pandemic? Because obviously people were in shutdown, locked away from interactions and you know, that physical contact with people regularly. And I read somewhere that it was because of that, NHS was going to definitely see a big increase in people needing therapy and help with mental health issues. Do you think that was more, is it a case of it's always been there, like you said, but then only because of pandemic, it's become more open. People are more open about it.
It's always been there. It's just that the pandemic forced people to be with themselves. People were forced to be at home with their significant others, with their families. Before, people would avoid situations. They would be at work. They'd be out. They'd be doing different things. Now they're forced. People are forced to face themselves. And oftentimes people struggle to face themselves. They struggle to face what they feel, what they think, because it's too painful or it's too difficult. So they avoid it. They avoid it with activities. Pandemic shut all of that down. And so people had to learn to sit with themselves. And that was hard.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, I think as well that, I mean, do you find with the clientele, not discussing this, you know, disclosing too much about your clientele, but do you think there's a balance in, like, more so with sexes or race? So is it more, or is it half and half, or the same? I don't know.
You know, I think, well, actually, the sexes is half and half in terms of gender. I see men, I see women, and in terms of, and it's quite multicultural, quite multicultural, but predominantly Caucasians.
Okay.
Asians, you know, whatever, but predominantly Caucasians. The odd person of color.
Yeah.
Very many. But I think that is embedded in culture.
I was just about to say.
Yeah.
I kind of thought that we turned a corner because of social media. And again, a lot of focus since the pandemic about dealing with your mental health. This, you know, hashtag, it's okay not to be okay. I'm not demeaning that kind of phrase, but the sense of how popular it is now on social media for people promoting, saying, listen, it's okay not to be okay. Yeah. So just say, I'm not fine. I'm not okay. And, you know, at least voice it so you can get the help. But I just thought, because of all of that, again, my limited knowledge is the assumption is, oh, because it's out there, then people of color and from our community would be more willing to go into therapy and whatnot. Is that not the case then? Is there still a difference?
Okay. Well, in my experience, it isn't. I have had a few people of color, and it's really interesting actually saying that now, as I'm reflecting back, they get to a certain point and then they pull away. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes they're not ready to go there.
Yeah.
And it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you have to go into stuff,
face
stuff, confront, acknowledge. And sometimes people, it's very hard to do that, especially when we think about, you know, children growing up, what it was like in their family of origin, you know, what happens in this house stays in this house. Mm-hmm. And carry a lot. So they don't disclose, they don't talk a lot about it. So the doors have opened a little bit now and people are coming into therapy and they will go so far and then they say, I'm all right now, I'll be all right. And we put forward this front of, you know, the strong black woman, you know, the black man, you know, he's powerful, he doesn't cry and all of this. And I've had some incredible, I've had a couple of incredible black men, you know, very in their professional world, you know, they do really well. And when they come into therapy, there's a completely different person that presents himself.
Oh, wow.
And not many people are able to do that. It's hard to do that. How you perceive yourself based on how other people see you,
sometimes,
you know. And there's this thing about other esteem and how what people say matters and putting forward this front.
Yeah.
But I think it's coming, it's changing. It's slow. But for me personally, in my business, it's changing. Yeah. More people are coming forward, but it has to do with, it's to do with culture, not just the culture within the country, but within the home and our background and how we were brought up and stuff like that.
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because when you have to actually own that, you know what? I was brought up in a really dysfunctional family and my mom did that or my dad did that. It's very difficult because now parents may be elderly and there's this element of guilt and shame and I can't do that to my family. I can't speak about those things. So there are barriers there that we have to cross. And that's quite challenging. But individuals are taking it, you know, they're coming forward and they're beginning to open up, which is good. The experience isn't as daunting as they think it's going to be because there is healing in opening up, you know?
And the other thing I was going to ask is there a difference in age in your clientele? Because again, looking at social media, you think I don't want to call it the Z generation, whatever, but the younger generation seems to be more open to doing therapy. So it's a case of it's almost like kind of lifestyle, isn't it? For some of the younger generation, whereas probably for my generation, for those who don't know, I'm in my 40s, and older, it is a bit of a struggle for some people of color. Let me rephrase, like, actually people from my background, Jamaican heritage, coming forward for therapy. I don't know about any other group of black people, but I know looking in my circle, people of a certain age, and you do hear about the one or two that say, actually, I've gone to therapy. I'm like, and I go back, I actually go, oh wow, I'm so proud of you, because I would never have thought of a certain type of guy in a certain type of age going to therapy, black guy.
Wow.
Yeah, so I think is age a factor as well?
Do you age can be a factor, because you've got the baby boomers, which I think is my sort of age. And when they've gone through life and had lots of experiences, maybe failed marriages or what have you, you know, parents dying, then they'll come forward. And that's across all groups, across all cultures, across all groups. Yeah. So that's there's quite a lot of those. But then you think about the millennials. I think I have more millennials than anything else, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
Male and female.
Okay.
And then with the, you just say the Z generation or whatever, there'll be, there are a few of those. A good few of those. Mm-hmm. But the majority is more the baby boomers and the millennials.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, we just jumped right into what you're doing, you know. Didn't even think about talking about the business aspect. So you've been just going over for over a year, 18 months, I think. What made you decide to start a business? Because what, like, tell me your background, like, how, where did you actually start? Because I don't think you started originally in psychology or therapy, did you?
No, I worked for about 30 years I worked corporately in IT.
Yeah.
I started off as a computer programmer, analyst, a consultant. And then in the latter years, I became a people manager. And so, but right the way through, there's always this interaction with people. And even in my personal life outside of work, there's always this interaction with people, and people talk to me, people confide in me. I found at work during the latter years when as a people manager, people, I would be the one that delivered the difficult messages.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and that sort of stuff. And so actually, whilst I was a consultant, I trained as a therapist. So I qualified. I've been a therapist now for about 15 years.
Okay. Yeah.
And so, so my background has more, has been IT and more corporate. And then towards the end of that, I qualified as a therapist, and didn't even start doing full-time therapy work then. It was more a part-time thing.
On the side while you're working still.
So I was made redundant from the corporate world back in 2008.
Okay.
And then I lived abroad for a couple of years, came back and really seasoned up, really got into the therapy work. I did my master's and all the rest of it, focused on addiction and the trauma healing work, all of that kind of stuff. And it got bigger and bigger. And I was just doing part-time. But I found that people respected me, and they respected what I brought to the table.
Right.
I had lots of, like, I'd have professors, psychiatrists, whatever, and they would refer people to me. I was doing this stuff in Switzerland. I had a couple of places there called a clinic, Paracelsus Recovery, work for them. And you're looking at clients that are high net worth.
Right.
So I ended up all over. I ended up in Asia. I ended up in the Middle East.
Nice.
So I knew I had something.
Yeah.
And I believed in myself. I knew that I worked well.
Yeah.
I was scared. Come on now. You know? Where's she gonna go? Where's she gonna, you know? And so, and so I just did my thing, you know. Okay, I was earning the money. I did sessional work privately with the hospital on their addiction treatment program. I did lots of stuff there, and I got lots of referrals. Opened up my private practice and just doing that, you know.
Yeah.
I thought, well, actually, I need to make this a bit more formal, but I was quite scared.
Yeah.
And back in 2020, a really good friend of mine said to me, why don't you just start your own business? And I thought, no, that's just, you know, too much work. And oh my God, and this, that, and the other. I can't be doing all of that. I'm a therapist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
you know, I'll go to work and get paid. And I thought, well, no. And I thought about it. It took me a year. I reflected. And I thought, no, let's bite the bullet and go for it.
Yeah.
And the rest is history. So I set up in May 2021. And here we are now.
Yeah.
December 2022. And it's going strong. It's very busy.
Yeah.
Love it. I love what I do. I don't love admin. I really don't do very good admin. But the work is incredible. It's incredible. Yeah. And it isn't just about, I'm quite passionate about the work. I'm passionate about the trauma. And I might be going through my stuff, as we do with humans. Yeah. But the minute I sit in that chair, I'm a totally different person. I'm a different person with my friends. My family wouldn't recognize me as a therapist.
Yeah.
You know, but it's so much a big part of who I am.
Yeah.
I couldn't see myself doing anything different.
Exactly. So credit to your friend as well for challenging you. But did you find, and again, part of the podcast is, as a Black professional, when you said, okay, here we go, let's start the business, did you know where to go to find support to do that? Or it's just a case of wing it?
I actually wing it. To be honest with you, yes, I'm a therapist. I'm also a Christian. And I prayed about it.
Yeah.
And I saw the logo in my mind's eye and all these different things just kind of came together. And I knew of you. I thought, let me approach Sarah. I approached you and you helped me along the way. You were incredible. I would not have been able to do what I'm doing as a business without your support, without your help, without your guidance. And it's doing things the right way, handling money the right way. I didn't have that. Mm. I was good at my craft, but managing accounts and all that sort of stuff, I wouldn't know where to begin. And I wanted to work with somebody or another company that understood me as a Black woman, that would understand what the challenges would be and what we need to do, you know?
Yeah.
And put me in the right place, which you know, Kayla Counts did that.
Thank you. But because I was thinking, even for me setting up again, a lot happened during COVID, you know. A lot happened. I think it gave people time to think. So as much, you know, like you said, people had to be with themselves, sit down and reflect. And I remember even listening to like Delroy Hall, who does like podcasts on LinkedIn and stuff, and he goes, this season, right, people are going to be leaving their jobs because they're saying, this is not where I want to be in my life. And I was one of those people in that I just sat there and I thought, I've been doing this for like 20 odd years, 25 years, and thinking, is this how I've always wanted to run my own business, but a different type of business, to be fair. And a bit like you, I was like, well, what about this? What about that? And then I just sat down and looked at where I was working. I was like, I couldn't do what they're doing. Because I'm basically that person that's running it for them, in essence, to a degree. I was senior level and having meetings with directors about this and finance and cash flow. I was like, well, if I could do it for them, I could do it for myself and do it for other people. So I just said to my husband, I said, listen, I'm going to do this. And I left foolishly without no clients. No clients. And then thought, okay, just step out on by faith. And to be fair, I'm glad it's something I did. But it is that thing of, where do you go for support? And sometimes you can rush and go to, like for you, you said you prayed or whatever. I just rushed in to join this network. And they were actually a good fit. And even now, I'm still trying to find good fits of a network where you could just meet with people and share experiences.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that is there. Well, I've not seen it. So if anybody knows, let me know. Holla, let me know.
I definitely haven't seen it.
But I've seen one group. And to be fair, they were quite good. It's an all-female. And I like it as well because it's a bit like it's an all-female club, private club. So, you know, back in the day, they had the men's club. This one was like, no, let me set up an all-females club. And I love it. But it's, again, I find that sometimes because of me being a Black woman, I don't know necessarily if people come to me for service.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be honest. You know what I mean? So I will sit down, have meetings and stuff like that. And obviously, my name doesn't sound Black, does it?
Mm-hmm.
Sarah Lillian Oliveri. And when they see me, they're like, oh, I'm offering advice and giving them points or whatever. And then they disappear. And I was saying this to my mentor as well. Well, I call it my mentor. Sorry, Jackie, you are my mentor. Jackie and she was saying, yeah, that's how it is sometimes. But it's a case of go where you can get work and where you're going to be respected and people are going to value you. I do have clients who are non-Black. And even the other day, she said to me, actually, I want to give you, increase your rates. She just turned around to me and said, increase your rates. You're worth it. So for me, the question to you is, did you not find any at all? Do you still not, can you not find any network that deal with Black therapists, or even not just Black therapists, just therapists in general, that you can come into that community and share? And you know,
I think that's something that I need to do. I need to be honest, I haven't explored it. I have just been focused. It's just work. So I've just been dealing with my clients, sorting out my accounts and getting on with it. So I haven't. And then, of course, I have a colleague with White who does the same thing. And so, you know, we kind of bat things off each other and we get on with it. But in terms of people of color, I haven't really connected with any kind of group of women per se that are Black, that are in the same field. That you know, that I can get support from and give support to. I think that would be amazing. That would be really brilliant. But I haven't looked into it. I haven't researched it. I mean, I've gone into Black-owned businesses, you know, with and joined a group, that sort of stuff, but not really something much more concrete that you can meet maybe once a month or whatever, or whenever you meet and exchange ideas and support each other. Yeah. That, I think, is something that I would definitely be interested in being a part of. But I haven't explored it, in all honesty. I think it would be invaluable, though. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, now that you're at this, like, 18-month stage, what's the plan going forward? I mean, who do you want to – is there, like, a specific group that you want to target? Is there a specific area that you want to cover? Because I know that you cover bereavement, addiction, childhood trauma. Is there something that you're more drawn to and that you want to focus on? Or,
you know, I think in terms of the future, I see myself doing this in my rocking chair, to be perfectly honest. Even like, I mean, and I'm supposed to be semi-retired now, right?
So, you look, by the way, Sean looks amazing. Amazing.
I'll take it. So I see myself doing this for years to come, for as long as I am alive and I've still got a brain that works. I will be doing this work at some level. It would be great to see more people of color embracing the opportunity to self-discover with real support and help, and people who can identify with you, with their journey, you know? It'd be great to see that side of things developing more. There isn't a specific area that I want to target per se in terms of the work, whether it's couples work or whatever. What I'm doing at the moment is good. It's busy because it's so widespread. You look at bereavement, anxiety, depression, obsessive behaviors, all addictions, including sex addiction, sex and love addiction, the whole thing, right? So there's lots going on all the time. And so it's very busy, you know. Even my own, continue my own professional development, there are things that I want to pick up on that I'm trying to do for 2023 around my own CPD, which would be good going forward. Because a few people have approached me around couples work, a few people have approached me around that, and I want to sort of get that embedded as well. So it is really busy. I don't know when it's going to end. Not unless my health tells me something different, and I don't think it will. Yeah. I feel great. Yes, I need to exercise more, don't we all? But
I need to exercise.
I'm trying to do I'm getting better at self care, and I have to, to get more out of myself, really, in doing the work. So yeah, you know, the future looks bright. It looks challenging, but I'm open. I'm open to what comes up because this doing this is me. It really is.
And you can tell you're definitely passionate about what you're doing, and I like working with people that are, that, you know, I've got quite a few clients like who are just so into and dedicated to what they're doing, because it's not just about the business, it's not just about the money, it's almost like a calling, a vocation. This is what I'm supposed to be doing, purpose, really. And that's how, and even when I was talking to my mentor the other day, we were talking, you know, some people might laugh and say, yeah, you're just an accountant, you're just, you know, looking after people's money, but it's again relationship. It's about client relationship. And sometimes you're not just talking about money, you're talking about family, you're talking about what's going on in their personal life. So it is people work, you know what I mean? It's not just about dealing with finances, it's about relationship with people. And that's how I see my job as well, or what I do. Yes, I love accounts, and that might be crazy to some people. Even when I told you I love tax, you said to Angela, is your wife sensible? Is she crazy? So yeah. But I love tax, apart from VAT, but I love tax. So, but yeah, Sean's making a face. But yeah, so that is what I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about people just managing their finances well, and doing business well. Yeah, so that you can do, and it's just about you. It's about leaving things for your family, generational wealth, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, obviously we're in the Christmas season. And I saw one of your posts about even like managing Christmas. I'm not going to talk about mine because this is not a therapy session. Lord knows. Yeah. I don't know how I packed up this week like this, and I've got work to do. Then I've got family down for Christmas. So, yeah. So what is your advice or tip? Because, again, with the cost of living, inflation, and then this, you know, and I've mentioned this before as well in another podcast, this constant almost like Instagram life. I know I post a lot on Instagram, but I don't necessarily, what do you mean, feel pressure to live a certain way, because I look at people and just go, yeah, that's them. But that constant hashtag live your best life and Instagram life pressure. But with the cost of living and everything, what are your tips and advice for people in this Christmas season?
Yeah. Do you know what? I think it's about keeping it simple. Because abundance doesn't necessarily bring joy. You know, lots of expensive gifts and parties and clothes, and it doesn't necessarily bring joy, because I sit with a lot of people who have all of that and then some, and they're miserable. And I think it's about connecting with the people that you love. It's about taking care of yourself, and yes, giving, but giving doesn't have to be, you know, lots of money. You know, we can use our creativity to create things that we give to others that's coming from our heart, you know, and connection, being with the people that you love. I think that's so important. Breaking bread with those that you love, breaking bread with people who matter, you know, and spending that quality time. You know, we've been running backwards and forwards all year, you know. There's still a pandemic, it's still, you know, there's still, people still get COVID and stuff still going on, and it's about those days, those Christmas days when you're at home with your family and really spending that quality time. And it isn't about stuff, it's about connection, it's about love, it's about sharing, it's about giving and being a part of something that matters, you know, whatever that looks like to you. I would say, don't let the media or social media or anything define what your Christmas needs to look like. Because, you know, a lot of us, we've lost family members during the past few years. And people, because I know in my family, my dad was the one that really boosted Christmas. My dad loved Christmas, you know. And everything that he did around Christmas that really made the family feel close and loved and all of that. And I would say, because sometimes we don't have that. We don't have that anymore. Dad's no longer here. But we do what we do. We pull together. And it's a sad time for some people.
Yeah.
It's a really sad time for some people. It's a depressing time for some people. We've got to be mindful about others. And maybe sometimes it's just a hello. It's just a glance. It's just a smile, you know, that could brighten somebody's day. It's knocking on next door neighbor's door and a little care package of some sort, you know.
Yeah.
Anything like that makes a difference. So, you know, yes, social media is out there. It's in our face. But what is the reality? What is the truth here? And I think as much as we can be with that is what's really important, and really take care of yourself. Remember, it's not about what you look like. It's not about what you've got. It's about who you are. And that you can be with yourself. You can go to your bed at night and you can sleep. You can rest and you have that shalom.
Yeah, that peace.
You know,
yeah.
It matters a great deal. So, because if we're looking at whatever everybody else is doing, I said to my daughter the other day, I was looking across the road and I reminded myself, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's Christmas decorations. You know? And if we can kind of, you know, just go with what we got, you know what, this is mine, and it's good enough.
Yeah.
You'll be all right. You know, but just be mindful of yourself and others, and just be real and enjoy the season.
And I think as well that there's a lot of support out there, which I'll link in the description as well, but there's a lot of support for people who are finding it difficult during the season, not just about mental health as well, but financially. I know, like, there's one church that they've opened up I can't remember what it's called exactly, but King's Church in Catford have opened up like a warm room for people who are like afraid to turn on their heating because of the bill. Oh, so they've opened up their church to say you could come down, play games and things like that. So I know there are various communities and various churches and centers that are opening up for people who are finding it really difficult this season.
Yeah.
I mean, we were talking earlier about, again, this has happened recently, about the guy who was a DJ on the Ellen DeGeneres show, Twitch. And you know, he's 40. Yes. And 2 days ago, he was posting a video of dancing with his wife and everything. And next, you know, death by suicide. You're thinking, oh, my gosh. You know, and then everybody was posting, you just never know. Just check on people that you think are strong and things like that. And they look to be okay, that they look like they're smiling, everything's okay. And it is quite scary. It is quite scary. So just check in on people and see how they're doing. And generally just wait around for, you know, the answer.
Good advice. Good advice. Yeah. People, just because I'm smiling, it doesn't mean that I'm not going through. Just because I'm dancing, it doesn't mean I'm not going through. You know, people are. But we just need to create a space.
Yeah,
just create a space for each other, and people will hide. People will hide behind so much, so much. But just taking the time. Sometimes our mind somebody might just come to mind, and it might just be a quick text.
Yeah,
you know, to say hi, how are you doing, or what have you? Just to reach out to others, because this happens all the time. It's been happening for years now. You know, way, way back, that, you know, you get celebs that are out there, they're in the limelight, they're in front of the camera. When they're alone, they are alone. And they're alone with a lot of stuff that they haven't been able to talk about because of their notoriety, or because of who they are, or who they're seen to be. And people suffer in silence a lot. So, and I think this is going to continue. Unfortunately, it will continue. But somehow we have to try to break that cycle.
Yeah.
And on a show like that, you know, being able to say, I've struggled, I'm struggling. You know, I've worked with a couple of celebs, and there's a particular, I can't go into it, but anyway, that's, you know, they talk about their mental health.
Yeah.
Talking about their mental health and what's going on for them and diagnoses and stuff like that. And I think it's time for people to begin to talk. Share your reality without the fear of how others are going to see you.
Yeah.
Because that's a matter of life and death.
Yeah. I don't know where does that come from then, this thing? I know we're going to wrap up soon, but this thing of having to be so picture perfect. I mean, I kind of can, I'm not a celebrity, but in the sense of, I can understand to a degree, like, always wanting to please people. Does that come from somewhere in your childhood? Where it's only like now of an age, and it's not disrespectful, but it's a case of I just don't take it on, and I've taken on Angela's kind of attitude of I don't care what they think.
Yeah.
But how do you get from that stage of, because I remember so much caring what people thought, hiding certain things, like if I was studying and I didn't do well, just hiding people, you know what I mean? Because of the ridicule and the questions and the comments, and always wanted to be picture perfect and please people pleasing. Where does that really stem from?
That's it, Sarah. We do all of that stuff. A lot of the times it's embedded in childhood and how we were brought up.
Yeah.
And how we're perceived, how we, so, and you know what, it's something about, yeah, it's how we're brought up in our families of origin. Mm. What's okay? What is deemed okay? What isn't okay? Mm. How we present this picture perfect to the world. Mm-hmm. It's part of the home, being brought up in the home, the church culture for some people,
mm-hmm.
And so many other aspects of our lives. And again, if we're not perceived to be this way,
mm-hmm.
we're not good enough, mm-hmm. you know? And sometimes it's a belief systems as well. You yeah. know, you see yourself a certain way, and you have some certain rules and beliefs about yourself in the world, who you are in the world, what you are, what you're about.
Mm.
And sometimes that is a bit skewed.
Mm.
And as a result of that, you become trapped in your own world.
Mm.
And you're trying to put the best forward all the time. But yeah. that's your reality.
Yeah.
Really
yeah.
isn't your reality. And when you try to live up to something that isn't real,
yeah.
the stress alone of that
yeah.
will destroy you.
Mm.
No, you can only go so far pretending.
Yeah.
And you get to a stage where, like you said, you just said to Angelo, you know what, I'm not doing that anymore. I don't really care.
Yeah.
I don't really care. And I've got to that place. I got to that place a long time ago. I heard somebody once say, you know, I'm over people.
Yeah.
People, because you can live your life in the eyes of others, and yeah. that's no good, and that's what causes the stress and the distress and all the other things that happen, you know. But you know, being Caribbean and being brought up in a Caribbean culture in a home, there's always this thing about what people will say and how we seek out pleasing others at a cost to ourselves.
It's true.
It's never good.
And it's the thing is, it's like that saying, if I knew then what I know now,
yes.
how life would be different. But again, it's part of life, isn't it? It's just a learning, you know, a learning journey kind of thing. So everybody's different. They have to get to that place.
Yes.
At their own time, isn't it?
And we can't beat ourselves up for what exactly. we didn't know. We did what we knew at that time, what we thought was the best thing at that yeah. time. And now we've learned that actually I could have done something different. Mm. We don't go back and berate ourselves about that. We make the changes. And until we stop breathing, we're learning and we're changing and we're growing.
Learning.
That's okay. That's okay. So yeah.
Yeah. But thank you so much, Sean. It's been great having you on. I mean, what kind of advice would you have for anyone who's wanted to start a business, whether that be in therapy, like yourself? Again, if you want to check out Sean's website, it's discovermetherapies.com. I'll also put a link to her Instagram and LinkedIn space as well, social media platforms. But what advice would you give to someone who's wanted to start out as a business, or whether that's in therapy,
yeah,
or not?
So you know what your passion is, you know what you want to do, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not about am I going to be any good at this, because you already know that you're good at what you do.
Yeah.
And I think it's about biting the bullet, really. Mm-hmm. Finding people that you know are going to be in your corner to support you in terms of managing your finances, like yourself. You know, your website, might make sure you get a technician who knows what you can sit and have a conversation with, all of that kind of stuff. But I would say, if you don't step out, you're not going to know, you know, and it's only sometimes in the doing, sometimes even with the best made plans, You don't get it right. So just step out, make the basic connection. Yeah, I know what I want to do, or I've got an idea. Start bouncing the idea of somebody else who is in business.
Yeah.
Be the same business. Just bounce the idea off and get some feedback, and you can begin to get some direction as to the way that you want to go. You know, and of course, it's people who are professionals who know what they're doing, who've been there, they've got some experience, albeit like for yourself, Sarah. Okay, you weren't in business for a long time, but you had 25 years of experience.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's about connecting with experience that's that's going to help you, but stepping away from the fear, because I tell you what, you know, you hear the phrase, feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because I could have stayed with the fear and not do it, you know, but I stepped out, and I would encourage anybody else, you know your craft, you know that you're good at what you do. Start talking to people who've done it. Start talking to people who've done it and get some direction. Stick with the people who are there that you know are there to help you, not the crowd mentality where I go pull you down. You and keep you going and just go with it, and you will make mistakes. It's okay. That's how we learn. It's part of our humanity, you know, but just keep it going, and you'll be surprised what you can become and achieve when you step out like that. So yeah.
And also with Christmas around the corner, I think we touched on this slightly, but for you, what advice would you give to people now? Just do what they're doing. Just do them. Do you.
Forget about everybody else and what they've got and what they haven't got. What have you got? and little becomes much. You take what you've got and you make it into a muckle or something. I don't know. But you just use what you have. Use what you have, and wrap it in lots of love for yourself and the people that are around you, and enjoy it. Enjoy it. You know, because you can have the abundance with all the money, but don't forget that even after Christmas, those bills are still coming in.
Yeah, yeah.
And you still have to live. So just do you, whatever that looks like. It doesn't have to be a whole turkey. It could be a turkey pie, guys.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, I don't do turkey, so.
Well, there you go.
I'm not having turkey.
It's whatever. It could be a nice big chicken, whatever it is. It's yours.
Yeah, exactly. Make it yours.
Make it yours and make it work your way, not everybody else's.
Yeah. And the last question is, knowing what you know now, I know everything is a learning experience, is there anything you would have done differently, now that you've started business?
I should have started sooner.
I had that same comment from a friend. Do you think you should have started sooner? I was like... I could have, but I didn't.
It's feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yeah.
I should have done it a couple of years before, at least.
Yeah.
At least a couple of years before I should have done it. I love working for myself, my own time, my own space, my own whatever, my own issues. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? And flexibility and things like that. Yeah, I love it.
There's pros and cons in everything, but this works, and long may it continue.
And you're happier.
And I am happier.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you so much, Shawn. It's been a pleasure having you on here, a conversation with a Black businesswoman. And today we were joined by Shawn Simon from Discover Me Therapy. I'm going to put so much information on her, on this description about her. So you can go to her website, go to a social media platforms, wherever she's at. I think you're on Instagram, you're on LinkedIn. You're not on Twitter, are you?
Not really. It's there. There's a presence there, but not much of anything.
Yeah. It's mainly Instagram and LinkedIn, isn't it? And Facebook.
Yes.
And Facebook, yeah. So I'll definitely put those links in below. And thank you so much for joining.
Thank you, Lillian. All the very best. Enjoy Christmas.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this podcast with our guest, Shawn Simon from Discover Me Limited. She's such an amazing woman, as you can tell, and so passionate about helping people. I think it's great meeting and interacting with people like her. It was just such a great conversation. The conversation got a bit deep, it did, but that's okay. So as I learned so much, and I'm sure you did too. If you'd like to know more about Shawn and her services provided at Discover Me Limited, check out her Instagram account, discover_me_limited, or her Facebook page, Discover Me Limited. Definitely reach out to her if you'd like to know more about therapy sessions or other services provided at Discover Me Limited. Make sure as well to follow her on all her social media platforms. And until next time, take care.